Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, the news.
20 minutes, Zadorove, on the news, spread out.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now on to our show.
Thanks.
You know,
I was going to say thanks for tuning in to the news. Our typical host, B-Zino, and co-host Dan Dredd can't make it today. So Lexi and I are going to wing this at the last minute and try to come up with something to talk about for the next hour. I thought we could go. This is Zach Black, by the way, and your co-host, temporary co-host, is Lexi. I thought we could talk about like how and why you got into Satanism, what were the circumstances revolving around that, and what attracted you to this sort of asocial, you know, antisocial philosophy. Want to go with that, Lexi?
Well, for me, you know, I just want to mention there's a couple different times in the beginning here that you're going to hear me try to start talking, and it's because the Fallen's intro isn't as long as the regular intro for the Ooze, so I want to talk, and it's not ended yet. So for me particularly, I was thrown the Satanic Bible by Wicked Puppy, and he was like, "You're not doing this right," because I claimed to be Wiccan for like 12 years. So, you know, he was like, you're not Wicked, you need to read this. And that's basically what turned me on to it. And I moved forward into, you know, the MCOS and things like that. And then I found Sin, and I left the MCOS for a while due to complications. But and now I don't claim to be a Satanist at all, so... You know, all that and yeah. So it's been a interesting past couple of years, to say the least.
Right on. My experience was basically I was never really religious. I was raised Catholic, but at the same time, as soon as I was old enough to actually think for myself, I kind of thought religion was bullshit and God was bullshit. And eventually started to look for other alternative philosophies and lifestyles. And more, you know, I was kind of soul searching, so to speak. And I was in a bookstore, and I had an interest in the occult, but had, you know, little bit more than any information than what Hollywood tells you. So I decided to go, and I didn't have any money, so I ended up stealing the Satanic Bible when I was like 13, right around there, 13 or 14. And I don't know, I read it, and it really resonated with me. It was kind of like looking in a mirror. It was like, you know, this makes a lot of sense. There's actually groups of people out there that actually feel and think like I do. Really? Wow. I was like amazed. It was like a revelation of sorts. And I was kind of like a Jehovah Witness for Satanism, so to speak, in a sense where I carried around my Satanic Bible, and I would talk to everybody about it, this and that. And then, you know, after a few years, though, I realized pretty quickly that it's not advantageous to advertise that to the public all the time. You know, after a couple ass beatings, after losing some, you know, some friends, some family, some lovers, shit like that, I just kind of decided to keep it on a need-to-know basis now. And that's basically how I stumbled across it. And I also joined the Church of Satan when I was 18, mainly to meet other Satanists, you know, and show my respect for Anton LaVey, but it was mainly to meet other Satanists of like-minded people, because this was before the internet. There wasn't a way to actually meet other Satanists without wearing like a basket the size of like Flavor Flav's clock, you know, and walking around. I hope you don't get your ass beat by a bunch of jocks. So, you know, now the internet's around, though. The Church of Satan is kind of obsolete. Oh, that's my story, basically. Here we are.
You know, it's interesting. I was raised Catholic too. My dad is still very, very, very Catholic, and I thought it was neat because I got to drink wine when I was in second grade. So I mean, I thought that was the shit. You know, I didn't so much like, you know, the whole Stations of the Cross or the sitting outside in the wet ass grass doing the rosary and shit. That bored the hell out of me. Church bored the hell out of me. I didn't really hold any, like, ill disregard towards Christianity, just Christians in general, because the kids I went to school with were just horrible fucking people. At least, in my opinion, they were horrible people. But I realized later on in life that they were just snobby, rich assholes, and that's what happens when you go to a private school. But I left that. My mom was pagan. And she took me to a convention, a pagan convention, or whatever, a festival, when I was younger, and I got really, really into it. I got wrapped up into it. And then I started picking and choosing things, and I went by Eclectic Wiccan for a really long time because I couldn't find a word for what I was doing. I was just picking and choosing what I wanted and just basically disregarding the rest of it, which I have been told apparently you can't do that as a Wiccan. You have to take it on as a whole. So I was like, okay, well, I'm still an Eclectic Wiccan, so we'll do it that way. Then Sean introduced the Satanic Bible to me. He was, like, all super geeked about it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I read it. And then, of course, you know, I joined MCOS, and I stayed there for a little while. And then I got addicted to finding people that were like that. So I joined Satanic International, and I also joined the 600 Club and found out there's dicks in every following, you know. But as I got to studying Satanism more and started rounding up my opinions, I came to realize that, you know, I can work with several different platforms. I can, you know, accept certain things that Satanists don't necessarily accept. So I decided to move on and started studying Kaoism. And that has really actually affected my life in a more positive way than Satanism has. But it has given me kind of a distaste for Satanism and some people who do fly the banner of Satanists.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, assholes come in all different shapes and sizes. Shit, I'm one of them. But, you know, with church, going back to church, like, what always creeped me out is, like, you mentioned, like, you know, you enjoyed your being able to drink the wine at, you know, second grade or whatever. I was always too creeped out to, like, actually go up there and do that, whatever they call that, the wine drinking and the body of Christ thing, the little cracker thing. What creeped me out most about church, though, is when I had to hold, like, you know, you had to hold hands with the person sitting next to you. And I didn't like to hold people's hands I don't know, especially, like, creepy old men. As they sing and, you know, jump around and shit, I was like, nah, it's not for me. So I just decided, fuck it. The age is like 11 or 12. Yeah, I just
the beginning of church, everyone's like,
yeah,
say peace to your neighbor, and you have to, like, randomly, like, shake people's hands. I'm like, ew, people's hands are gross. They're like, the dirtiest thing in the world is your hand because it touches everything. I don't know what you were doing before you came to church. Ew. Or the, I always took it, like, if I went up for communion, I just took it by hand, but I would always see these people go up there and they'd stick their tongue out, and, like, the priest would have to put the little wafer thing in your mouth for you. I always thought that was really unsanitary. Sorry, I'm kind of a bit of a germaphobe.
Yeah, well, you know, because it comes from God, it's got to be sanitary, right?
Yeah, I
agree. And the whole thing of chanting, the whole moaning and grunting and kneeling and all that shit, it just, I just thought it was a very creepy, surreal experience, and what was it really down for? Yeah, you know, as far as like Satanism goes, I mean, so it sounds like you've only been into it for less, at least identified with it the last few years. I'm guessing this because I think I know how long you guys have been together. So,
yeah.
With me, it's been about almost a little over 20 years. Now, I've explored different other, you know, philosophies and different other LHP type paradigms, but I'm comfortable with what I know and what I believe and what I feel. So it's kind of like, if it's not broke, don't fix it type thing for me. I'm where I want to be philosophically, so there's no need for me to keep looking elsewhere because I'm happy and content with what I am now. And that's it. You know, I'm never going to be any spiritual guru or, you know, occultic guru or anything like that. I'm just plain old run-of-the-mill Satanist.
Yeah, you know what? And I've noticed, even though I've said previously that I have a disdain for some Satanists, I've noticed that a lot of the people that I am talking about, you know, whether it's in real life or online, it's because they don't exhibit, you know, that satanic qualities or the satanic qualities, or all, you know, they exhibit things that a Satanist would not necessarily agree with. But that, and I'm a bit claustrophobic, so once I start feeling a little closed in, you know, philosophically, I like to just kind of move out and keep going on. And who knows, maybe, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, I'll return back to Satanism and be like, oh, well, you know, I guess I was doing this all along. But for now, I think that Paleism and being able to move as fluidly as I can is the right step for me. So that's how
you know, for meeting a lot of Satanists online and stuff, you know, before I got online, I didn't get online until 2008. So I was kind of sheltered, didn't really, wasn't in contact with very many Satanists, if any at all. But now that I'm online and I've met, you know, allegedly, you know, many hundreds, I've come to notice that about 90% of the people that call themselves Satanists are not. And they have an identity crisis, and they're going to drop the identity and the label, you know, when it no longer works for them, or they're not getting what they want out of it or what they expect, or something new and better comes along that, you know, that they want to identify with. But 90% of the people that call themselves Satanists identify themselves openly as Satanists, I'd say within a few years, you know, if less than 10 will not share that identity anymore. And there's the other 10% of us.
Well, what do you think about extremists? Like, extremist statements? Because there are some people who really take this to, like, extreme of extreme. Like, I can understand being a Satanist and flying that banner and being proud of it and, you know, whatever the case may be. But there are some people out there that really are in your face about it. If you don't do this way, then you're not a Satanist. And, you know, like, I think what I'm referencing here is a post, actually, a blog that happened earlier today by a SIN member. And that really, it struck me as an extremist post. And I'm not for extremist of any kind. Personally, like, I can understand that you're gung-ho for whatever it is you're doing, but, you know, for you to tell me what I'm doing is wrong, well, you know where you can shove that. Do you know what blog post I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about the one that makes reference to the Church of Satan, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's extremists in all sorts of fucking places, you know, and with me, it's kind of hard to understand because, for me, Satanism isn't really a religion. When I think of the word extremist, I automatically think of fundamentalist when it's applied in a, you know, in a religious way, fashion. But, yeah, I don't know. I see Satanism as a philosophy, and I don't think it's, you know, same thing to, you know, get all up in arms about, but, you know, there's certain things that people need to identify with shit, especially younger people. They need that identity badge. whether it's God or whether it's Satanism, whether it's this or that. You know, and you get some idol worships and what they worship in there. You know, and it's one thing to respect LeVay and what he's done. But at the same time, when people just are just like, you know, kind of got their head up LeVay's ass, and they're kind of like, you know, well, oh, if you're not part of the Church of Satan, then you're not a real Satanist. And this is the attitude of the Church of Satan nowadays, although it wasn't when LeVay was running the show, but that's since become the attitude of Mr. Peter Gilmore and company, which is one of the main reasons why I resigned from the Church of Satan. And I think it's kind of silly. I think it's kind of shallow. But that's just my opinion.
I almost think it's unfortunate because, and I responded to this blog too, and I actually enjoy talking with this individual. But there's one, I just can't get over the in your face. And then I mentioned that preaching of any kind is still preaching. It doesn't matter what side you're coming from, whether you think the side is stronger or more right, or, you know, you're still preaching. And I think that's what I find annoying. And I can't even blame Satanism. I can't even blame Satanists for that, because every horse of every color gets on a soapbox every once in a while. I think that's just human nature. Sometimes when we see something that just rubs us the wrong way, we have to get up there and be like, what the fuck? You know, I'm totally guilty of doing it myself. And I'm not proud of that. But I feel like it must be made mention that preaching is preaching. It's pretty
well, you know, it's one thing to be proud of what you believe and to want to advertise it, you know. That's a phase, it's kind of a developmental process that I see a lot in Satanism, especially if you're a teenager. You know, it's you want to be kind of in your face, you want to advertise, you want that Daphne necklace, you know, you want this and that. And at a certain point, though, it's kind of like you got to weigh it out. You know, is it counterproductive? Well, when you get older, it starts to become counterproductive in your life. It starts to limit your relationships. It starts to limit your, you know, your social interaction, because not everybody understands Satanism. Well, most people don't. And a lot of people don't care to. And it's kind of like, why do you want to, you know, pigeonhole yourself like that? You know, it's kind of like putting a bullseye on your ass. And so, which is why, I mean, well, with the exception of my tattoo, which no one knows what the fuck it means, so nobody's really, you know, it's not something I generally do anymore.
Right. Well, I recently just got that tattoo done, or a tattoo done, which represents my philosophy, the Chaos Star and the Universal, and nobody knows what it means, and I prefer to do it that way. I would rather have this on my arm visible to everybody and explain to those who actually want to know what it is, then have a big upside-down pentacle where everyone can see it and have people go, you're the devil. We got a caller. I believe that it is female Satan, too. So, you are on there.
Hello, I said I'd call in.
Hey.
Hey, I saw that y'all were talking about that vlog. Well, that's the last I heard. I thought that Zach made some really good points on it. My big issue with the COS and those extremists in general is that I don't think that LeVay would be particularly appreciative of that point of view himself, you know.
You guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I think we're all here still.
I'm going to get going here. I'm on the beach, and I got some company. We're going to grab some breakfast. Thanks for calling in. Jeanette, you guys can carry it away, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, have a good night, guys.
See you later.
Hello?
All right. Well, now we got half of the Fallen edition up. I guess we're going to... Congratulations, you're going to help me carry out the show.
Oh, he. I didn't hear him. I didn't hear him leave. I, is that what he was saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
What law is that again? When somebody, huh?
I said, what law is that on the 48 laws of power again? All right.
Congratulations, you're the caller.
Yeah.
I mean, not, well, now you're the co-host.
Yeah.
Well, I think this was the deuce of tout, so I can't really blame him for wanting to head out and do whatever he's doing.
Yeah, didn't she come down from Canada for that? Is that right?
Yeah, she did. She did.
Oh, wow.
That,
well, that's...
Yeah.
That's cool, though, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to do some traveling myself, but right now my finances are just fucked. So that's not going to happen anytime soon. Well, maybe the next year or so. Today is a free day, so if there is a topic that you want to talk about, we can move on from, you know, religious extremists, which my say on it is go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I think extremism is gonna happen, and I do think that everything's decisive in some way, but I don't know, it doesn't well with me sometimes when you get these declarations that you have to do this or you absolutely are not. And that kind of annoys me. And on a personal level, it annoys me when people aren't Satanists to begin with and get told they're not being satanic. I'm kind of like, well, they didn't say they were to begin with, you know, which has always been, and that's my own personal perspective in a way, is that if you're a Luciferian, you're probably not going to be very satanic. You know, you can call yourself that to begin with, you know.
Right.
And I've always had that point of view on it. On a personal level, is like, well, you know, they are doing something different, and that's okay, you know. At least in my eyes, it is. It always has been.
Well, you know, I've had a similar opinion of that. People who are doing what they feel is right is fine. As long as you keep that out of my face, I don't care what you do. Your philosophy could be based around, like, mine right now. I'm building up a satanic Powerpuff Girls paradigm, which, being a terrorist, I can fucking do that. So, you know, and it's actually a whole lot of fun, you know. That's my main goal in my life right now, is to do whatever it takes to make me happy. And if there's someone out there that has a problem with it, well, then they must just have a problem. They have a problem, I don't.
Go ahead.
No, I kind of cut off on that sentence.
I'm in particular. I've started getting into the ONA stuff quite a bit lately, actually, and you know, I really enjoy the ideas and the concepts behind it. You know, and that's actually a pretty big change for me, considering I think a month ago I was posting about how technically I was Levian, you know, and that's a pretty big change. But I do like it, you know, and I was willing to at least look at it rather than, you know, kind of run screaming from it, which is what I had been doing previously pretty much, is that I had kind of stumbled on it and went, yeah, no, and then it kind of, you know, it kept kind of periodically coming back up. And we've kind of had wave of people kind of revealing that they were, which I didn't know, you know, which was kind of a strange thing for me personally. I was like, what, you know, when did everybody become that, you know?
Yeah. I was like, it's like the newest fad. You know, I've had some, like, I'll go over and I'm part of a group. It's a closed-off group, mainly because, you know, and I stumbled across this group via a old SIN member, an ex-SIN member. He came in, had some issues with some of the people onsen, which is very common. And he left, and he joined another network. And about a month later, he got a hold of me, and he said, look, I'm inviting you to this network. Come check it out. See what you think about it. And he had some of the same viewpoints that I did, so I went and I checked it out. And these people are really cool people. Mm-hmm. Well, they would never survive on sin because they would be confused. They would be told they were too open-minded, which I've been accused of several times, is that my brain is going to fall out. But they are cool people. So it's very, I don't know how to explain with that. But I like the idea that there's someone else out there. Like you said, you can look at something and you can accept it for what it is and still be able to say, okay, this is not for me, but it looks like it's working for them, so cool for them, you know. But I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, what works for me, which is something that I can rally behind anybody for. You know, it's
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, a lot of people, they don't do that. They look at it and they go, yeah, that's wrong. And you're wrong for that, and state their opinion and leave.
Yeah, well, and I do think I had somebody post something on one of my blogs that kind of stuck with me, which he said, look, at the end of the day, we're all going to endlessly debate who's a true Satanist and who's not, but at the end of the day, you know, if it's working for you, keep doing it. I kind of like that because I was actually talking about Anton LaVey, and he's like, at the end of the day, you know, we all, you know, this is going to happen. This is what happens around here, and that's okay. And I try to keep my personal feelings out of the internet as much as possible for that reason, because somebody's going to come in and be like, you are retarded. And that's okay because that's their right. And they may have a point and they may not. You know, it just depends. And, you know, it just depends on, you know, what exactly it is. Because I've had things that got torn apart and they should have been. And then I've had other things that somebody came in and said something on and I'm like, well, I actually like this. So, whatever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I myself have had things. In fact, I would actually say about 80% of the stuff, if not more, that I have put up, I put up very quickly. And it does get tear apart. And, you know, like you said, there are some things that I put up there quickly or not that I disagree with. And you can't say anything to me to change my mind because it does work for me and it may not work for you, but that's, again, not my problem.
I'm not going to say it, exactly. And, you know, I've had stuff that I've had stuff that I've posted without, I don't know, giving it much thought, or I was just, you know, I was posting relatively quickly and it winds up getting torn up, and I'll realize it's just maybe three or four sentences I wrote that just kind of make it terrible, you know. And I can grant that. I even went through and changed a blog over that, where I finally was like, look, is this part, if I take this out, will it change it? And one of my critics was like, yeah, and I did it, and it's actually one of my favorite pieces that I've ever done, you know. And I do like it for that. I mean, that's why I participate mostly, is that, you know, I haven't been, you know, I'm not a great student of philosophy or something, and I don't pretend to be, you know. So a lot of times I'll learn something just based on, you know, reading other people's critiques or reading other people's, you know, work themselves. Which, you know, I think is what it's there for in a lot of ways. I posted on that blog earlier, the one about the COS, and in my opinion, these sites had replaced that in a lot of ways. You know, especially with BLS, I mean, I think that it's been replaced by the internet. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, you know, because some people are just logging on, basically, it's like Zach said, they're logging on to goof off and, you know, do their thing, and then there's the other 10% that are logging on. And it can be frustrating, but, you know, it's going to happen no matter what you're doing. I mean, if you even broke it down with Christianity, I mean, how often do Christians not only endlessly debate who's a real Christian, but on the same hand, how many Christians are actually following the Bible to the letter? But almost none, you know?
Right, and, you know, push comes to shove, who really needs to follow the Bible to a letter?
Mm-hmm.
That just seems
well,
like
exactly.
a really bad idea to me. I think what got me about the post, because I wrote it and I said, Satanism isn't out of hierarchy. Excuse me. Because what I see a lot of, or what I used to see until I really stopped looking for it, because I think I was looking for a flaw with Satanism, and I found it.
Mm-hmm.
I found quite a few. To me, that was a sign that Satanism was not for me, at least not holy, not to be my platform, is that Satanists tend to compete amongst each other. And
mm-hmm.
to me, Satanism, the philosophy, is to better yourself, not by the standards of other people, but by your own standards. Now, if your standards are, okay, I want to be as good as this person, well, then you're going to constantly judge what you're doing based on another person. But from what I understood, it was all coming from the one person that was actually doing it and not everybody else around you. And that was something I didn't really like about Satanism. Because I saw so much competition between other Satanists, and it's just not, in my mind, that's not what it's about.
Well, I think that competition's going to be natural. I mean, I think that's going to happen, and, you know, you do see people, and it depends, at least for me, it depends on the person. You know, if somebody said something and they made a valid point, I do have enough, how do I explain this right? I do try to use enough self-examination to at least, you know, take a criticism and see if it has any merit before I just automatically dismiss it. Because I see that a lot, too, where somebody says, well, I'm not sure about this point. And, yeah, they might have said it in a really dickish way. And the response is, well, I'm not changing my mind. You know, there's nothing you can say that would, and they can be categorically wrong, even to the point where people can prove it, and people will just dig their heels in and not move at all. And I think that's a very dogmatic mindset to have, is to not be willing to at least listen and take the criticism, you know, and remember where it came, which is that at the end of the day, the opinion, you know, the person giving the criticism is probably worthless, but if they have a valid point or they're showing you something that's valid, you know, you need to at least be open-minded enough to go, oh, okay, I've got you. Yeah, that makes sense. You're right. You know, the earth isn't flat, you know, kind of thing, which is, well, that's what I always refer to it as, is like the earth is flat fallacy, where like you'll see somebody who's like, absolutely not, you are wrong. And it's like, well, go look here, and like you'll see somebody list out, and there's nothing. There was a guy who decided that the Order of Nine Angels was called the Order of Nine Angels, and he got corrected, like by four different people. And I dropped five links, but he really was determined it was angels, you know, and he wouldn't listen to the fact that no, it's angles, you know. And it's a silly thing, but it's what, you know, it's that earth is flat mentality, which is like, no, it's angels. I read that. You know, and it's like, no, not really.
Yeah, I read that thread, and that was just amazing. There's a couple of threads out there right now that are just rolling on the floor, just laughing, just watching them, because the pure... I'm not listening to anybody's thing. But I think part of it is not a lot of people react very well to criticism that's handed over in a dickish kind of way. I've been on both sides of the fence here where, you know, when I first started looking into Satanism, and especially over at the 600 Club, I got a lot of shit because I was just going through and trying to figure out everything and working my way through things. And the 600 Club obviously was not the best place for me to go, but I got a lot of shit. And a lot of the times, I just went round and round and round and round. And no, I know what I'm talking about. And even to this day, there are some things that I really did know what I was talking about. These people were just assholes. But and when I say these people, I'm not including the whole 600 Club, so I don't want anybody burning down my, you know, metaphorical door here, okay? But there were just some people that were hell-bent on being an asshole. That's just the type of person they were, and I came to understand that. And I wrote a forum thread about a month ago where I admitted, you know, there were some things that I didn't know about, but at the same time, I was so blinded by their criticism that I wasn't about to let them know that I didn't know what I was talking about. So,
well, now, yeah, and I've had that difficulty before, and, you know, where, like, somebody's just, you know, they've resulted to name calling or something else, but I do my best to, I try to view that as a lesson, which is okay. So they called me five different names. All right, fine. There's a lesson in that, which is that I should have a thick enough skin that doesn't actually make me tear up. Do you see what I'm saying? I shouldn't tear up if somebody calls me skin. Okay, now, you know, let's breathe and break it down and see if mixed in with all that is an actual point. And if there is an actual point, and sometimes there is, and sometimes there's not, it just depends. And it's hard to do at times. And I try to, Wicked Pup told me, he said, he was talking about some guy posted something one time, he was going to conquer the internet, and Wicked Pup said, go hit the X bar in the right of your screen. There you go. Fine. You conquered the internet. So I try to remember that, especially if I get, like, my feelings hurt. It's like, I'm like, well, I'm done. It is just the internet, and I have to remember that now. So what if that person called me 10,000 names? And I have, you know, let my emotions take over at times. And I always regret it afterwards. I'm always like, well, yeah, you know, you quit making points a long time ago and were basically doing the equivalent of screaming at the person, you know.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing. That's, like, the newest thing for me lately that I've been hearing, and then probably it's been being told to me for a long time, but I just didn't want to hear this. You're acting emotional, you're being irrational, you're being illogical. What? No, I'm not. I got into a big argument with my mother last night, and she told me I was getting emotional, and I was like, I'm not getting emotional, and then I looked around and I went, but I am yelling, so maybe I am, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But, you know, the
yeah.
one thing that really annoys me, though, is when someone tells me that I'm being emotional or I'm being moral when I'm really not. That bugs the hell out of me. And then I end up getting emotional, and I'm like, this is like a loser situation here. Eventually, I'm just going to go, you know what, fuck you. I'm leaving. I'm going home.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's you know, and that's the thing, is that you have to sometimes kind of walk away. And I have a tendency to feel like I need to save face. I don't know what it is. It's always something with me, which is that I have a really bad tendency to want to have the last word on something, which is if we're arguing, I've got to get that last word in. I've got to be the one to finish the argument. And that can get, you know, downright foolish at times, you know, in real life and on the internet. You know, I've went back and reread threads, and I'm just thinking to myself, what are you doing? You made your point. Why did you basically keep typing the same thing out? It's five pages, you know, of you saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll read it and go, oh, yeah, no, you got mad, and you had to have the last word. You know, there comes a point when you walk away, you know. And that's a, you know, and, you know, those things, it's a characteristic of myself, which is that I can be quite aggressive at times, and I have to kind of rein that in pretty much all the time, or I can, you know, if somebody says something to me, I can just go off. I had my mother call me a bitch the other day, and like normally that wouldn't affect me. I'd even, you know, jokingly say I was one, but you know, 30 minutes of yelling at her about all the reasons I'm not a bitch, yeah, no, clearly one, well, I was definitely acting bitchy at that point, and two, you know, I really shouldn't have cared at the end of the day if she thought I was or not.
Yeah, see, and that's the funny thing about it. I think that's a common trait, actually. I hate to say it, but I think it's a very common trait among women in general, is we do, there are certain buttons, and I hate, you know, I don't like showing what buttons that I have, but they are definitely there. You push that button, and boom, I'm the same way. You say the wrong thing to me, and I will go off, or you do the wrong thing, and I will go off, because that pisses me off, and, you know, and I will keep going and going and going. In fact, I've been told in the nicest way possible that you don't shut up is I'm a tenacious little fucker, and I will admit that. I will debate the same issue and say the same thing until the fucking cows come home. I will just continuously do it, because that, to me, you know, this is, and usually it's about something that I've held that opinion forever, you know. So to me, I'm just arguing something that I already know and I'm going to hold on to. Which you can't blame anybody for doing.
Well, no, exactly. And that's the thing, is that I try to remember, somebody said it, you are not your ideas. And I try to remember that most of the time, you know. But, yeah, there's certain words or certain phrases or something where it's like, you know, you start like, no, you don't get to do that. And it's always almost ridiculous. And on the other hand, I can always tell if I have a real philosophical weakness or hole if I start doing that. And, you know, I can tell right then. It's like, well, this might actually be a weak one because you're defending it too hard, you know. You can't prove it. You need to stop and look at it a little bit, because you seem to be kind of, you know, seem to get really emotionally attached to this idea, which means it probably has an emotional basis to begin with.
Right, and I've been told in forums by certain members, back away from the keyboard, breathe, look at it, and then come back, which, you know, in the very beginning, that, to me, was patronizing. I hated when people did that. Just back away from the keyboard, sleep on it, come back, and see if you can't see through whatever mess you're putting on the screen right now, because right now I can't. And
yeah.
Now, I still do that from time to time. Like, the abortion thread. I still didn't change my opinion, and I've slept on that thread, like, a while, and I still view it in the same way. And so I was overjoyed when Mindfuck joined in on that thread.
Yeah.
And he basically said what I was thinking in much better terminology than I ever could. I'm going to admit that right there. But I read it, and I went, yes, fuck you. So,
well, that's the thing, is like, and that one, that whole thread, though, I thought that was weird, because I typed out my response, and then I read it, like, I was going back and rereading it, and I was like, geez, are you dark much? Like, I didn't realize I was that dark in perspective on it, until I started, like, nobody's ever brought that up before, but I've always had that, you know, killing is killing when it comes to birth control thing, and, yeah, I read that, I was like, man, that just sounds really awful, and, you know, it's kind of like the humans are monsters thing. It's one of those, in a few threads like that lately, where we're going, I'm kind of dark, and people keep saying I'm a nihilist, which I'm not, or I don't think I am, but I probably at least need to, you know, pop open a Google search on that, because it's about the fourth time it's been mentioned to me now. You know.
Well, you know, in the thread I mentioned that I wrote previously, where I outlined, it's called Breaking Boundaries, I think. I mentioned nihilism as a platform, and it's not something you want to get stuck into by any means, a nihilistic frame of mind. I do claim moral nihilism. I do like the idea of moral nihilism. And nothing in my mind starts out bad. I think it's how you use it that determines right or wrong. And, for example, I was talking to Rickett about the abortion thread, and he mentioned that I didn't put any personal experience into my post. So I was just rambling about it. And he said, you didn't leave any examples. Well, my example, the person I was thinking of, I went to school with this girl in high school, and her parents paid for 5 or 6 abortions because she kept going out and having sex and getting pregnant and going and getting abortions. And she continued to do that because of the fact that her parents would pay for it. And she didn't. I was like, well why can't you, if your parents are going to pay hundreds of dollars for you to get an abortion every time you get knocked up, why aren't you taking the initiative to take that money and go get birth control?
Yeah. Well, now I can see that. He's right. You didn't offer a personal example. That thread, though, one of the things that I found remarkable about that thread is that I don't think anybody ever really changed their mind on it, but I do think that there were a lot of interesting views on the whole subject that were presented. I think it's just a flat-out good read, you know. I think everybody got a little emotional in some parts of it, but, yeah, I think it's a good read just because you get to see there's some really differing points of view on that subject in there, you know, and some alternative. It's all alternative to the pro-life versus pro-choice, you know, idea, which is a good thing because most of the time, people think that's just two things, you know, when it comes to that particular subject. We've got a good 5 or 6 alternative points of view there that are really interesting, actually, at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I enjoyed being a part of that thread. I can understand where everyone's coming from because I've always been the type of person where even if I stand in opposition to a point, I can still see the other side of the side of something. And I'm, like I said, I'm very dualistic. I see everything around me, but at the same time, you know, and you're going to get emotional responses and non-emotional responses and straight-up nihilistic responses from a topic like abortion. It's just one of those big topics, and it really depends, I think, on personal experience, what you've seen. Like I explained with that girl from high school, that really did shape my view on abortion and some of the people that use abortion. And, that to me was just irresponsible. I don't necessarily think it was wrong, because had she had those kids, well, they would be somewhere off in welfare land as we speak. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then, you know, I got really mad at her sister because her sister got pregnant later on, and I went to high school with her sister, too. And she got pissed off at her parents, literally moved out of her parents' house because her parents wouldn't pay for her abortion when she got pregnant, so she had to have her kid. And, I mean, this girl was horrible. She forgot the birth of her, she forgot his birthday. I just thought that was ridiculous. How are you going to excommunicate yourself from your parents because they won't pay for your abortion?
Now I will say that on a personal level, especially my big thing with abortion in general is that women have sort of always done it. You know, like if you start reading up, you'll start finding there's always, you know, they're always doing it. So, like, the legalization of it is just going to drive it underground. Like, it kind of has, you know, the any time a law is passed, it's not that people go, oh, well, I won't do that anymore. It's just like, oh, well, now I'll do that behind your back, you know. And I think it's dangerous to take that to a behind your back kind of, you know, behind the government's back or society in general's back in general, because, I mean, there's horror stories about what people used to do. I remember I was reading one, and there's an herb called black cohosh that can induce miscarriages. And, like, I remember I was reading on the internet where there's, like, recipes for the tea. And then you drink this nasty stuff. I have one. So, you know, like, somebody's, you know, and that's an old version of abortion, you know, is to drink this.
And there's somebody out there doing it, you know. That information is available. It's like seeing those signs, do not stand under, you know, heavy door, it might fall. And, like, or just the stupid signs where you really go, did someone actually do that? But they have the notice out there. So obviously someone out there in the world did that, and you just kind of go, oh, boy. I can agree with the dangers of what could happen if they made abortion illegal. I mean, that is, to me, pretty dangerous, but, I mean...
It seems that no matter what laws pass, basically, most people at least are going to keep doing what they're doing anyway. So they're just going to do it, you know, behind the law's back. And then it gets, you know, kind of tricky and insidious. I mean, drugs are an example of that. Like, you know, you have there's lots of issues, especially with, you know, harder natural drugs where, like, you know, you've got purity and, you know, and you've got the story of, I actually knew somebody who bought some weed, and somebody had put, they had taken that baby cereal and dyed it green with food coloring and put it in there. Well, the woman was allergic to weed, so when she smoked it, she died. Do you see what I'm saying? Because they put this filler in it.
Yeah.
You know, and purity and things like that. I mean, like on drugs in particular, it's kind of like, you know, you're making it more dangerous by, you know, pulling it away from everybody. It's not that people have stopped doing these things. It's just that, you know, now they're doing it in, you know, now they're doing it and it's illegal. You know, that's the only difference.
Yep. Well, like the saying goes, there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
And there most definitely is a coat hanger.
Oh, so, yeah, well, I mean, there's so many examples that you can find of that where, like, you know, people will still, you know, people still break the speed limit, you know, even though it's right there. You know, they just slow down when the cop comes back, you know, pulls up behind them. That's the only difference, you know, is that at the end of the day, there's a lot of kind of, I was telling somebody in chat one day, I was like, you know, by definition, we're all criminals because there's so many laws at this point. We're all breaking laws every single day. You know, we might not be breaking the big laws, you know, but, you know, we're probably breaking a couple hundred minor ones, you know, simply by getting up and walking around, you know. There are some states where, you know, certain kinds of sex positions are illegal and stuff, you know, or just craziness is still on the books. And that's kind of, you know, I always find that interesting, and that's what I was telling the guys. Like, well, we all are criminals in a way. If you break it down, there's too much law for anybody not to be anymore.
Right, and then if anybody has any reason to say that that's not true, I invite them to go online and actually look up stupid laws of whatever state you're in. I guarantee you, you're going to have hundreds of these stupid laws, like in Michigan. Michigan had a law, and it got repealed, like, just like maybe 5 years ago, maybe. It was you cannot swear in front of women or children. That was a punishable law. And granted, nobody really banks on that. But if they wanted to be a real dick, they would be like, ha, you just swore in front of a child. You're going to jail. I mean, and I'm an avid swearer, so I'd be screwed.
No, exactly.
With certain things like that.
Well, I mean, I I'm inclined to agree with you. Is that like, I mean, Tennessee's got some stupid laws. Here, anal sex was illegal for a long time. That's finally been overturned. But it was just, I always found that quite comical, you know. Or there was a law in Indiana, and I remember in particular, which said you had to wear a seatbelt in any vehicle but a pickup truck. Which is like,
That's,
you know.
I really hate to say it, but that's not a very surprising law. But I don't know. Even in Michigan, you don't have to wear, if you're like over a certain height or whatever, you don't have to wear a seatbelt in the back. Which, I never wear a seatbelt, period, which makes me kind of stupid. But I just never think about it. That's what it is, though. It is what it is. And people are going to do what they want to do.
Oh, yeah. Well,
straight up.
And
all right. Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and end the show. I thank you for calling in, because not only did that let Zach get to do whatever he wanted to do and didn't leave me alone up here, so that's great. I appreciate that. Again, anybody who's listening that didn't show up in the beginning of the show, it was moved to 1:30 at the end, and TC weren't able to make it today, so it was a free day. Thanks for everybody that showed up and listened and whatnot. But I'm going to end the show, and I'm going to go pick up my little girl. Well, first day I wake up again. But anyways. But thank you for joining, and I will see you at soon.
All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dad, Rocky DeRoma, for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?